Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
In the Bible, the English, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. I don't think
there who believe that the English language don't have a lot of slang. If you go around a bunch of young people, 18, 19, 20, 30, even 30, we have so many substitutes for actual meaning of the word. Like, hey, man, that's cool. Hey, that's cool, man. That's cool. I mean, that's dope. Remember that? Oh, man, that's sweet. Oh, man, she's fine. She's fine. What does fine mean? Fine means pretty. What does cool mean? Cool means you're okay. You're great. You're fine. You know, you can interchange. You can do what you want. But the word rapture is just a way to explain this thing that would happen to the believers of God. The true believers will be taken out at a period of time. Now, to have somebody on my show who does not believe in a pre, does that make me a heretic? Because I believe in a pre. Only thing I'm doing is showing unity with the individual people, because we're starting a whole doctrine. Oh, actually, it is doctrine. But we're starting a whole religion on who will you, or your salvation counts. It depends on where you think the rapture is. So if you're mid, you're not saved. So I really think you need to get saved. So you need to change your dispensational view of the rapture and make it pre, and then you will be saved. No, no. I think the people who are mid-trib are kind of crazy. Actually, I think the people post-trib is crazy. I think the people mid-trib are okay because they at least think we should escape the wrath. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world and emphasizing the mark of the beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final day. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Thank you. Okay, I'm back. I have been receiving negative stuff on my websites and various places, and that's fine with me. That makes me know I'm doing my job. We are going to start, and one of the people out there has said that I was going 2 hours, and they said that you'd be better off listening to a shorter show, which thank you very much. If you're listening to the show and you don't want to put that time in, thank you, because you just did me a favor. So now we're going to do 30-minute and one-hour shows with much effectiveness. And you're right. You're right. Thank you. And then we're going to do certain two-hour shows when we can line up the guests and when there are things going on in the world that we can hold up. And I'm going to preach the gospel, and I think that that individual has done me a great justice. I took some time off, and I'm probably going to take another couple of days off and just to get focused on what we're going to be doing at the Prophet Zone. Tonight is just one of those days, but we're going to be prepared what we're going to say. But a lot of times the Holy Spirit will take you off somewhere else, so we have to be ready for that also. Me and another brother are being attacked. I'm pretty sure there are other brothers who are being attacked, brothers and sisters are being attacked. If you speak in God's word, you're going to be attacked. I have Susan Pozio on my show, and she talks about false prophets, and I'm pretty sure she's being attacked by the organizations. Oh, I'm being attacked by the organizations because I guess they figure I got more people listening. But I believe that I can have 3 or 4 times more people listening than I actually have. And I still believe that I can do better, much better job at YouTube videos. I just don't really, haven't got set in yet to be doing any YouTube video shows. Now, I enjoy Blog Talk Radio because it gives me an avenue to preach the gospel. And with all the tools that they have out there in electronic media, it's just an awesome thing. I think I've talked to not a million people, but I've been up there. And if I really start doing the shows, quality shows, this is a good show, but at the same time, it can be a lot better. Those people out there, God bless them. I pray for y'all who are saying that your show sucks or you got a terrible show. You look like a moron when you say that. And the reason why is because of how you approach things. You at least look at the worst show. Just find the worst show in my archives and then say it's bad. Now, I know I don't have a bad show, or else you wouldn't waste your time saying that I have a bad show. I believe my show could be a million times better than it is. But I don't have a bad show. It's not a bad show. But thank you anyway for you. You just make me more motivated. That's why I've kind of like really not been in saying anything lately, because I've been trying to figure out what course, how we're going to do this show. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to gear more towards the show as a network rather than trying to build a network. So what I mean by that is that the Prophecy Zone radio show will be a network. If y'all hear my 2-year-old kid, that's him upstairs shouting down for his brother down here with me. You just bear with me. I'm just going to let him make his noise. But I might sometimes have to get up and take him back upstairs, because people upstairs evidently they just let him walk around, do what he want to do, I guess. But that's fine. I wanted to actually really quickly, and I'm going to end up saying, I'm going to pay a file with Terry James, play an old show with Terry James in a few minutes, but I want to really quickly talk about imminency in Christ, the imminent return of Jesus Christ for his church, and the importance of a pre-trib rapture. If you look at the word, if you look at the Bible, you look at Daniel, you look at Revelation, they are time periods, time slots, time periods of the length of the tribulation period. And there's also the length of the first half of the tribulation period and the second half of the tribulation period. To make a long story short, if the rapture happened in the tribulation period or at the end of the tribulation period, you would know. So God, what he did in his foreknowledge, he decided to make the rapture imminent, meaning it can happen at any time. So we need to keep our eyes on the sky. The Bible never took to look for the Antichrist, but in Titus 2:13, it's to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have to keep that in mind. I'm going to go ahead and play this Terry James show that I did a couple months ago, and we're going to start bringing on a lot of people on this program network. So we are going to take a break, and we're going to come on with Terry James. And it is a recording. I repeat, it is a recording.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture. An American Warning Radio with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, I'm back. I'm going to go ahead and play this file, Terry James, for 30 minutes, and then after that, we're going to be going off. We're not going to do the 2 hours, but we are all going to start doing some high-power shows pretty soon. Still lining up guests. Bear with us at the Prophecy Zone. We're going to take the show to a new level, and we are going to point out false prophets. So if you think you're going to keep putting stuff on our stages and all this other crap, just have fun. Make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But God bless y'all. It's also going to play the theme song over again, so God bless.
Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against
the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Hello and welcome to the Prophecy Zone. My name is Phil Armstrong, and it's August 15, 2010. We are going to have an interesting show. Terry James, radio host, writer, and creator of RaptureReady.com, the biggest prophecy website in the world, will be joining us today. We have no commercials because I'm on a different account, so it's just you, me, and my guest in the news. John Bolton, Russia's, says Russia's loading of new fuels into Iran's plant means August 21st deadline for Israel attack. It goes on to say news that Russia will load nuclear fuel rods into the Iran reactor has touched off a countdown to a point of no return, a deadline by which Israel would have to launch an attack on Iran's Bashar reactor before it becomes effectively immune to any assault, says former Bush administration UN Ambassador John Bolton, John R. Bolton. Once the fuel rods are loaded, Bolton told Fox News on Friday afternoon, it makes it essentially immune from attack by Israel. Because once the rods are in the reactor, an attack on the reactor risks spreading radiation in the air and perhaps into the water of the Persian Gulf. That'll probably make a lot of people mad. Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin declared in March that Russia would start the Bashar reactor this summer, but the announcement from a spokesman for Russia State and Atomic Agency to Reuters Friday sent international diplomats scrambling to head off a crisis. The story immediately became front page news in Israel, which has led precise plans to carry out an attack on Iran's nuclear facility while going along with President Obama's plan to use international sanctions and diplomatic persuasion to convince Iran's cleric not to go nuclear. Now, I'm going to stop right here and just say this, that it's kind of funny that our Israeli ship escorted 11 to 13 military ships through specific channels like the Red Sea and the Gulf and the and it sounds kind of fishy because a lot of people are saying that the United States is not willing to attack Iran at this moment. But why are our ships being escorted by Israeli ships? And it says in this article, it says the story immediately became front page news in Israel, which had laid precise plans to carry out an attack on Iran's nuclear facility while going along with President Obama's plan to use international sanctions and diplomatic persuasion to convince Iran's cleric not to go nuclear. So a lot of times, a lot of people make it look like President Obama is against an attack. But right about now, President Obama's a lame duck president. What I mean by lame duck, that means he's going out, coming in one door and going out the other. It just looks to me as if President Obama is actually and has approved an attack, because even our Congress has approved a military attack against Iran, a nuclear facility. And when we look at their nuclear facilities as a target, you have to acknowledge that the fact that if they hit a live nuclear reactor that is live, it is just like a terrorist going and hitting a reactor and spreading radiation for miles, because it will eventually affect the whole Middle East. And we don't want that to happen in relevance to the people living in the Middle East, and that would just defeat the purpose to kick the people off. But Bolton also goes on to say, Bolton made it clear that it is widely assumed, Bolton made it clear that it is widely assumed that any Israel attack on the Bershir reactor must take place before the reactor is loaded with fuel rods. Now, what if they just don't hit that reactor? Does that make any sense? It says, and Bolton goes on and says, if they're going to do it, that's the window they have to. So there's a small window that Bolton declares. Otherwise, as I said before, once the rods are in the reactor, if you attack the reactor, you're going to open it up, and the radiation will escape at least into the atmosphere and probably into the water of the Gulf, Persian Gulf. So most people think that neither Israel nor the United States come to that would attack the reactor after it's been fueled. Hopefully they not that United States and Iran is smarter than that. I mean, Israel is smarter than that, hopefully. So most people think that neither of them, Bolton cited that 1981 Israel attack on Saddam Hussein's arsenic reactor outside Baghdad, and September 2007 Israel attack on the North Korea reactor being built in Syria. Both of those strikes came before the fuel rods were loaded into those reactors. Okay, we're going to take a little break, and I'll be right back.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
That's all the commercial I have. I kind of like commercials because it makes the radio program sound professional, but at the same time, I also get to promote other ministries. And and get and the whole other ministries get audience, their audience bigger, so the word of God can be spread to the ends of the world. So we have to keep continuing to look at that, because I believe the war is going to start in the next week or two, and I believe that it will be different phases, and I believe that the whole war between, this is my belief now, I believe that Psalms 83 and Ezekiel 38 and 39 are to be and to happen within the span of 3 weeks. And that includes the destruction of Damascus, which we need to pray for those people over there, because it is not good for grown-ups to, or people to die and go to hell. And that's going to happen eventually. You know, the odds of an attack on a major city, and then no one goes to hell, everybody goes to heaven, is probably what the new Christianity of the 21st century believes. But we have to pray for those in Damascus, even though they are in Isaiah 17, and it sets forth as a target. We have to pray for those people over there, because the Bible says pray for all men. And it was pray that they will come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ, because God does not want anybody to perish, but come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. And if this is the case, then we have to pray for all men, because the United States may become a target as well. And if the United States becomes a target, then we are seriously having to pray for the United States and the people of this country, because the country is a target for terrorists. Now, what terrorists? I'll just put it this way. Sometimes the enemy could be domestic rather than internationally. Sometimes the enemy is within us, and if you look in the mirror, sometimes we get the enemy from there. And I won't speak too much other than that. There is other news. Russian S-30 in Abkhazia. I can't even pronounce it. Abkhazia, whatever. I don't even know how to spell it. A-B-K-H-A-Z-I-A. Abkhazia. I don't even know how to spell that. But anyway, block possible Israeli air route to Israel, Iran. So they were going to use one of the stands as a launching pad to attack Iran, but Russia set their missiles out there as a deterrent. And we know that Israel needs to fly in the airspace, and we know that Saudi Arabia gave it to them, gave them the approval, at least a corridor, to use to attack Iran. The U.S. economy is near the point of no return. And I'm going to cover that on Thursday if I don't have any guests. Phoenix supposed to be on here. If he is on here, then that's fine. If he's not, then I will cover a lot of the news, because pretty soon what I'm going to start doing is booking people to be on the show that will make good conversation. And it's sort of like when, for instance, 9/11 just happened, and we're sitting here doing a radio program. I want to be able to have dialogue with the individuals on who are interested in giving the people the information. Not giving the people what we think they should have, but what they need to have according to the Word of God. Because if this is a time period like this ministry believes, we're facing some difficult times as a nation. And that's why it's the thing that Jesus said, he'll keep us out of the time of testing that is coming upon the whole world. And I think testing, people misconstrue testing. Testing could be the first half of the tribulation period, because what people don't realize is that judgment, when the rocks start falling that weigh 40 pounds and the heat starts scorching man and beasts start stinging them and they can't die for 5 months, that's pure judgment. That's the ultimate judgment. But then there's testing. For instance, you can't feed your family. The first half of the tribulation period is supposed to be successful for the Antichrist. But for some strange reason, they're going to be the price of things are still going to be going up. But anyway, I have my guest coming on. His name is Terry James, and he is the creator of the world's biggest prophecy website. And he is also a host of his own radio program and a writer. And awesome website. Go visit it at www.raptureready.com. And, just phenomenal. Matter of fact, Bill Silas was on our show about a week or two ago, and Rapture Radio was on our show a couple of months ago. And we're trying to get Joseph Chambers on here, a few other people. But God bless that ministry. But anyway, we're going to bring Brother on. Hey, Brother, are you there?
I'm here.
How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you? Sorry, you got the, you gave me the wrong number, the first three numbers.
I'm sorry.
Right, I got it right finally.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Yes, sir. I want to get started by talking, and I usually don't ask any simple questions like this, but since your website is so vast with information, I'm going to start off with a simple answer. Are we in the end time?
Well, I think that's a definite yes. Every signal we see on the horizon points to the coming tribulation era, and I mean every one of them, whether you're talking about geophysical or astrophysical or whatever, socioeconomic, religious, and any way you look, the signals are all there.
Yes, indeed. What is the significance of the rebirth of Israel in 1948?
Well, of course, I consider that the key signal of where we are on God's prophetic timeline. Before that time, of course, there was no Israel since for about 2,000 years almost. And people wondered how in the world could all these prophecies ever come to pass, because there was no Israel. So therefore, they were considered by many to simply be figurative or symbolic. They spiritualized prophecy, but now, since 1948, well, there's no doubt about the fact that God is setting up the world for his son's return.
Yes, indeed. Psalm 90, does that give at least a clear definition? Of course, it says 80 years, too, but The 70-year generation, does that give a clear length of time where Jesus is talking about in Matthew 25:4 that this generation should not pass until all these things can be complete? And was God talking about a specific number of years in this generation?
You know, I don't think so, because, of course, the Bible gives, in some cases, a generation is different than others. The most general, I think, is 70 years that is given there in the Bible. But the fact is, a generation can live from what? They can live from a one-year-old to what people can live to now, a maximum of probably 110. And so it could be anywhere in that range. So really, God's word remains true to the fact that nobody can know the day or the hour, or even they can know the season, general season. I think that's what the I really think that's what the generation thing is given for, is to so that people will be aware of the general time frame.
Yes. Yes, indeed. The generation, what would mark that generation? What would the generation be like at the time of shortly before Jesus Christ comes back? What would be the moral condition of that generation?
Well, if you look at what Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 29, he said that as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the day of the Son of Man, I mean the day when Christ returns, or the time when Christ returns. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, I mean the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Everything will be going along pretty much as normal for the time. I mean, it will be buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage. They will be planting, building, all of these things. And then suddenly, a sudden catastrophic catching away of Noah and then of Lot in his time. And then the judgment of God fell when the flood came in Noah's day and the fire and brimstone fell and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, that's the general thing. It's going to be times are being going along just about as normal for the times. In other words, everything, business will be conducted as usual, but, and we have all these signals of the other things that are that will be going on. Jesus said that you would see the time coming, that tribulation storm on its way. And he's, the reason we know that is because in Luke 21:28, for example, it's recorded, he says, when you see all of these things begin to come to pass, and he just got through giving all of the signals of the Olivet Discourse accounts of found in Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, Mark 13. He just got through giving all of the signals of the things that were going to come up on the earth. And then he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh, says in the King James Version. So all of these signals we're seeing now developing on the scene. And when Jesus was talking in Luke 17 that it would be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot, well, he couldn't have been talking about the second advent, the time when Christ comes back, as recorded in Revelation 19:11, he couldn't have been talking about that time, because business will be pretty much being conducted as usual. You know, the building, the selling, the buying, the marrying, the giving in marriage, all of these things that's mentioned there. So I can tell you right now, if you read the book of Revelation and some of the Old Testament prophets, both major and minor, we know that times are not going to be anywhere near normal at the time of Christ's second advent. There, as many as three-fourths of the world's population will have been killed by the judgments that have fallen.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So he had to be talking about the rapture.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how, I don't know if you ever, if you dealt with this one before, but how do people, I guess I'll ask this question. Is there a rapture? Or is there, what, and if it is it pre, mid, or post?
Well, I definitely come from a pre-trib view, because Jesus said, and well, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, that we are not appointed to wrath. The tribulation era is going to be God's wrath, the entire tribulation era, from when Jesus, the Lamb, first opens the first seal in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. That begins the tribulation era, all the way through to the opening of the seventh seal. And all of that is God's wrath and judgment, not just half of it, but all of it.
Yep.
And of course, Paul said that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 again, that we are not appointed to wrath. He was talking to all children of God alive at the time. We are not appointed to wrath, but to salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, comfort one another with these words.
Yeah. Yeah, you,
so
you did a good job.
About a pre-trib rapture.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was going to ask you another question, but you answered that too. Now, here's a question you might get mad at me with, because a lot of preachers do. think I'm insinuating something, but the death, okay, rapture as a first issue, secondary issue, or third issue. What I mean by that is, to me, when and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the death, burial, and resurrection, if you mess with any of those, you might be in trouble. So, for instance, if somebody's denying that there is a rapture, aren't they taken away from Scripture? I can't necessarily say the Revelation, the book of Revelation, but at the same time, the church is not there. Mm-hmm. So if you're adding something there that's not there, are these people in danger of receiving the plague?
Well, I don't know exactly if I understand the question. Could you rephrase it? Because I don't really understand.
Yeah, just rephrase. Let me just go ahead and say it. If you say that there is no rapture, do you still go in the rapture, or are you left behind?
Oh, absolutely not. Paul, when Paul was talking about the rapture, what does he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 55, and then also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18? He doesn't say part of us will be raptured. He says, we shall all, A-L-L, be changed in a moment, a single moment of time, an atomos of time in the Greek, meaning a time that cannot be divided. We will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that means all. That doesn't mean some.
Yep. So that means all of those.
Even if we're not walking the Christian life, and if we've truly been born again, we're going.
Okay. All right. Now, you have to handle what makes you qualified to be in the rapture of the church. What happens after the rapture of the church?
What happens after the rapture of the church? Will we go to be with Christ in the air? He takes us home, as we see in John 14, verses 1 through 3. It says, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, where I am, you may be also. So what do? When we're received in the clouds with Jesus in the rapture, we go to be to the Father's house. Now, when we get to the Father's house, there is the Bema Judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. All who stand before that throne, the Bema throne, the judgment seat of Christ, we'll stand there to get rewards for what we've done in this life. We'll either have rewards, crowns handed to us for what we've done, or we will lose crowns. But everybody who's at that throne will go into heaven. We all are saved at that one. So, and then after that, there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb, in which the church is a symbolic bride of Christ. Will in effect have the marriage supper of the Lamb, in which the church is forever joined to Jesus Christ as his bride, and there we will reign and rule with him forever.
What would make you lose your rewards?
Not to living up to what God has planned for you here in this life. I mean, you know, anything that that you do that diverts from what God wants you to do. I mean, God puts us here for a purpose. You know, if he sends you to preach and you refuse to go, that's room for reward. Only God knows what rewards will be given and lost.
Yeah.
And anytime, if we want to, anytime we ask his forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, you know, when we sin in a way that would make us lose rewards, we must repent, and God wipes those off the slate. And that's not cheap forgiveness. I mean, Jesus paid the price for that forgiveness.
Yes, he did. Amen. Now, what happens on earth after the rapture?
Well, after the rapture, of course, it's going to be the most terrible time on earth. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22, that it will be the worst time in human history. It'll be so bad that if time was not shortened, if he did not shorten the days, there would be no flesh saved. A man would probably destroy himself with atomic warfare and other things. So it'll be the worst time ever. It'll be worse than the Holocaust of the Nazi years. It'll be a terrible, terrible time.
Yep. does indeed. Let's back up a little bit because I kind of jumped the gun with that question. Let's back up all the way to now or wherever the time is prior to the rapture. There are people now studying Psalms 83, but a while back, when I first started studying Bible prophecy, I never heard of Psalms 83. I never heard of it. Now, how does Psalms 83, Isaiah 17, and Ezekiel 38 and 39 jive into the end time plan? And also, does the rapture of the church happen simultaneously with at least Ezekiel 38 and 39, or you just don't know? I guess I asked too many questions. Go ahead.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I have to be honest, I don't know when Ezekiel 38 and 39 will occur. I know that the nations are certainly there prepared now in the preparation state with Iran and ancient Persia, of course, and Russia being Rosh, out of which Gog, the leader of Gog, Magog, will come. Those are certainly in place. Turkey, Torgarma, called also Torgarma, is another part that is developing. They're becoming more Islamic, more in league with both Russia and Iran. It's a very interesting mix. Now, so far as the Psalms 83, now I have some of my good friends, Dr. David Reagan, of course, Bill Salas has written on that, written a book on that, Israelistein, and so forth. I promoted his book, and I think that Bill did some good work on it, some cutting-edge work. I still am not convinced that Psalms 83 is more than an imprecatory prayer by Israel to the God of heaven to vanquish their enemies. And I really believe, still in my heart, that those, even though they're not mentioned by name necessarily as the key players, that they will be a part of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 Gog-Magog attack. And as far as the Damascus Isaiah 17:1 thing is concerned, I believe that will happen following the rapture, and I think it will be a part of probably some kind of military action. It could be as a part of the Gog-Magog war, but I don't really think so, because Israel is supposed to be kind of relaxed at that time, so they won't be firing missiles probably up that way, but something at some point, I think it's going to be after the rapture myself, maybe not too long after the rapture, this Isaiah 17:1, Damascus being destroyed and so forth.
Yeah, I'm starting to look at Isaiah 17 is exactly, and I know people don't have to buy this or nothing, I'm not trying to sell it in the book or nothing, but I'm just thinking that the Bible calls the Antichrist the Assyrian, mm-hmm. and I was always thinking that maybe the Antichrist is the reason why he rises to power is one of the reasons it calls him a little horn is because Damascus was taken out and they needed new leadership. So those who really truly run the world put him in charge of Syria, not knowing who in the heck they were dealing with. Do I get that out of the Bible? I kind of put it together. I'm just saying the Bible calls him the Assyrian, and it's funny how Damascus is taken out. And I think that also, for me, I look at it as a hook, one of the hooks in Russia's jaws. That's one of the reasons why they come down to invade Israel. But it's just a thought. Who in your eyes is the beast? What I mean by that is the beast of Revelation 13 and Daniel chapter 7. What entity is that beast?
Well, now you're talking about the symbolic beast that comes up out of the sea. The mixture, in my view, it is a combination. It is a Babylonian system. It's a combination of all world empires, both in Daniel chapter 7 and there in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, when it comes, he's seen coming out of, the beast is seen coming out of the sea. It's the same beast that the woman rides astride in 17, Revelation chapter 17, the harlot that rides the beast. It's the same beast. It's a combination of all powers of the world that have ever ruled the earth, and it's in its final form. And it's a,
yep.
It's the beast system that the beast, the Antichrist, will use to rule the world. Now,
yep.
It goes all the way. This beast is the same, actually. Going all the way
yep.
back to Daniel chapter 2, where it says that, you know, that when you get right down to the toes and to the feet and toes of the metallic image of the man that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about and Daniel interpreted. This
yep.
is the same. This is the same. The total system from the head, the Babylonian head of gold, to the silver chest of Greece, Medo-Persia rather, and then the thighs and belly of bronze, which was Greece, and then on down to the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay, which was Rome. So it's all of this composite beast rolled up into one, and this is the culmination of it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the 2012, do you see any significance to that?
Well, the significance I see really is all this hoopla building it up because of the Mayan calendar and all of this kind of thing. I really believe that there's some significance to it prophetically because it's leading up to something. It's getting the whole world's attention on something, and more people are looking at that, particularly the documentaries and on the cable channels and everything, are looking at 2012. So the significance I see is that they're focusing on this 2012, and it's having an effect on a lot of things like the environmentalists, a lot of the scientists and so forth are interested and intrigued in it. So I don't know exactly what it does have. I don't believe for a second that the Mayans had any clue about prophecy. Only God
yeah.
knows the end from the beginning.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Do you believe that one of the platforms of the Antichrist is economic collapse, and why? And when he comes to power, what is the other platforms that he will rise to power on that makes the whole world marvel after this guy?
Fear, absolute fear, and let me tell you, when the rapture occurs, there's going to be absolute panic across this world, particularly in
yep.
the United States, because the United States is going to lose the majority of the Christians that go are going to move from this country, not because we're a great country in that sense. I don't mean that. But we
yeah.
have the most Christians, true Christians,
yeah.
born-again Christians in this country. The whole
yeah.
world, does it not, depend on the United States for economically. I mean,
yeah.
we are at the very center of economics. When the United States suffers, the whole world suffers. And
yeah.
That's why they're so concerned about the United States economy, the world is. And so when this nation is so upset, when that rapture occurs, I'm convinced that not only the United States is going to implode, but the whole world is going to implode. It's going to call for a savior, an economic
yeah.
savior, anybody who can offer a solution or solutions to these problems to assuage the fear of people, that he's going to be welcomed as a Messiah, I can assure you.
Yes, indeed. What is the age of accountability?
Oh gosh, I don't. Only God knows that. But the age of accountability is the moment that a person, the Holy Spirit, calls a person to salvation through Jesus Christ, and that person realizes and recognizes that he should accept Christ because he's the Savior, and
yeah.
it's the only way. And that when a person has a cognitive ability to realize that. And the Holy Spirit has drawn him to that truth, and he rejects it. He either accepts or rejects at that point. That's the age of accountability. That's when he or she becomes accountable for his own salvation.
Okay. Now, who in the tribulation period, once the tribulation period begins, who will be responsible for preaching the gospel?
Well, actually, there'll be nobody saved when the rapture first occurs. But I believe there's going to be a tremendous number of people saved directly after the rapture, because I believe that many will want to see what has happened. They'll go and they'll look and see what's happened here. They're going to go to places like RaptureReady.com and other places and look and see, and they're going to see the story about Jesus. There's going to be people who remember that. And the Holy Spirit, even though he will withdraw as the restrainer, is still going to be here guiding people's minds and in for Jesus Christ, because the Bible plainly says that no one can come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And so he's going to be here working in that office, and there's going to be millions, I believe, saved right after the rapture of the church. And then, of course, the 144,000, the 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, are going to be supernaturally appointed to be like super evangelists to go all over the world.
Now, I'm going to jump the gun on you. You're going to think I'm crazy when I ask you this, but I'm always kind of curious what other people's opinion is on this. When we look at the unholy trinity and we see Satan, false prophet, the Antichrist and the false prophet, and also Satan's demonic minions, and I'm going to also come back later and ask you a counter question. What is Satan's chief aim right about now, since he knows his time is short? And I know what you're going to ask. I'm just asking this as far as somebody else might be listening who might not know.
Well, of course, it says that he's talking about seeking whom he may devour. So he's talking about the earth seeking whom he may devour. He wants as many souls into to go to hell as he can get. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah, he seems to be using a propaganda machine known as Hollywood to entice people, first of all, to get ready for his Antichrist, because I've noticed a lot of sorcery movies are coming out and a lot of hocus pocus. Talk to us about I remember Elijah having to call fire down from the sky. Talk to me about this false prophet calling fire down from the sky. Why did he even try to attempt to do that?
Well, first of all, he wants to prove that the Antichrist, he and that Antichrist, who is the first beast is Antichrist, the second beast, of course, is the false prophet. The false prophet calls the fire down from heaven. And he wants to prove that to the people of the world, that in probably television and everything else trained on them, that they have the power to do this. Now, here's my opinion on that, if you want to know it. I think in chapter 12 of the Revelation, of course, Satan is kicked out of heaven for the final time. He will be kicked out of heaven, will no longer be able to even come up and accuse the saints. He will be confined to earth. I believe that this calling down fire from heaven is what that's talking about. I believe that when the minions come down from heaven, kicked out of the heavenlies, well, they're going to use this to their advantage to try to convince the world that this is some sort of an extraterrestrial landing. It's going to help explain what all has happened with the disappearances and all of this kind of thing. And I think that's why we see so much in the skies today. When we hear about UFOs and abductions and everything, I believe that's exactly when these UFOs are supposedly are going to come down, and this is that beast, second beast, calling a fire down from heaven. I believe that's what that is.
Wow. Yeah, that was another question I kind of skipped over, because I should have asked you about how is the rapture sold, as how do they sell the rapture? How does the world, the Antichrist, remember it talks about the Antichrist speaks blasphemy against God and those who are here that is in heaven. Now, I always wondered, now, how can people say that there is no rapture when he's actually, who is he blaspheming in heaven? I mean, doesn't that give you a small clue? But anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
As far as being rapture ready, because the name of your website is Rapture Ready. Tell us, how should we be rapture ready?
There's not but one way. and that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the way to be rapture ready. Now that's the only way to be raptured, is if you're saved. But now, in the rapture ready, all also means that we should be working, as God has given us. Jesus gave us the great commission to go forth and to teach the nations and to baptize them, and in other words, to witness to the whole world. That's what Christians are supposed to be doing. So being rapture ready in that sense is very important, because, you know, we talked about when we go to the Father's house, we will stand before the Bema judgment for rewards. We want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that's being truly rapture ready.
Yes, indeed. What is the Great White Throne Judgment?
Okay, the Great White Throne Judgment is the very final thing that the Revelation talks about before the remaking of the heavens and the earth. It's the very last judgment. Only the lost will be called to that judgment. They'll be resurrected from the dead. The ones who have died and the ones who are alive will be simply put before the Great White Throne at the end of the millennial era, and 1,000 years of Christ to reign on earth. The Great White Throne will be set up. Jesus will judge the wicked, and all there will be sent to, of course, to the lake of fire.
Yes. Now, when a person dies now, where do they go?
They go into what is called a Tartarus. They go to the same place that the rich man and Lazarus were. Remember the story Jesus gave of the rich man and Lazarus? That was not a parable. That was an actual story he told. A parable.
Wow.
When Jesus told parables, he didn't use names. He used Lazarus' name in that one, and also Father Abraham. Well, that's the same place. There were two sides of paradise at that time. There, what we call the hot side and the cool side. Now, of course, the dark side was the side that all the lost dead go to and still go to there. And there's a huge chasm between the two. At that time, paradise was across this huge chasm, and the rich men could look over there and see Lazarus, who was a poor man who dined at his, or didn't dine at his table, but he ate the crumbs from his table, the rich man's table. And the rich man asked Abraham to let Lazarus dip his finger in water and touch his tongue, for it was parched in that torment, he said. And then, of course, Father Abraham said, "We can't come there, neither can you come here." Well, Jesus, when he died on the cross, went to that place. He preached to the dead lost over there, and just to prove who he is, that's the only reason I can figure. We don't know beyond that. But he took all captives in the other side, the slave side, took them back to heaven with him. That's where they are now, and that's where our spirits go now when we die for Christians.
Yeah. And are they up there? Do they shake hands? Do they need a body to shake hands, a hug, or?
Well, only God knows that. But you know, I think that they have bodies, a spirit body. Now they'll be joined to. We will all be joined to our physical bodies, because Jesus, our bodies will be like Jesus's in his resurrected form whenever we, you know, in the final analysis, when the rapture occurs, in other words.
Yeah. Wow. This
mortal must put on immortality.
This
corruption, meaning those in the grave, must put on non-corruption, incorruption.
Yeah. Now, the rapture of the church, do you think, this is sort of like one of those questions your five-year-old might ask you, but if you have one, how many do you think out of 7 billion people, just take a look, I mean, just throw a dart at the wall and blindfold yourself and just imagine who you with all kids and under the age of accountability and grown-ups that are going to be taken, out of the 7 billion people, because by then it might be 7 billion, how many do you think is going to be raptured? It will cause enough panic across the world.
You know, here's what I believe, Phil. It's going to be over, it's going to be in the probably over, oh, well over a billion. Here's why. And you're talking about just raptured. How many children do you think are in the world?
That's why I asked my wife. She said she don't know.
How many are in the womb?
There's a lot of kids. It's like 3 billion kids at least. Like people like having babies, so I don't know.
And in the womb, those just being conceived at this very moment. At the moment of conception, in God's view, that person is a person. And when it happens, every womb of the lost women on this planet who are pregnant, every womb is going to be empty at that moment. I am absolutely convinced of it. Now, you're talking about big numbers here.
Yes, indeed.
And they will go into the presence of Christ, I'm convinced, fully grown, fully formed.
Yeah, that's another good question, though. You already asked. Yes, indeed. All right, man, I'm going to go ahead and end the show a little bit early because, this has been a great interview. I like to kind of keep it short because then they kind of wear down at the end. I thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, great website. Wow.
Thank you very much. I hope people come and visit us. God bless.
Could you give your information right quick?
RaptureReady.com. RaptureReady.com. Yeah, just one word, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on.
They can find my my email address at the bottom, somewhere on the bottom on the homepage. And also Todd Strindberg, my partner.
Okay. God bless you so much.
God bless
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Another wonderful interview of Terry James and the RaptureReady.com, one of the biggest prophetic websites. And that was a wonderful interview. And we're going to be having other interviews between now and the end of the month. So we're going to try to get Gerald Salente on here and a few other people that are going to be giving out information that's going to be detrimental to the final days that we're living in. I have an article here right quick. It's for the last 8 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show early. But this article goes, The Great Depression, Wall Street in 1987, January in 1997, point of economic collapse, generally crystal clear in the rear view mirror. Professional politicians in Japan have been telling stories for 20 years to why they can prevent economic stagnation. In the U.S., the storytelling started in 2007. All the while, stock market and real estate prices have repeatedly rallied to a low high, then collapsed again to lower. Despite the many differences between Japan and the United States, there is one similarity that continues to matter most in the risk management model my colleagues and I at Hygiene, our research firm, debt as a percentage of GDP. Now that the U.S. can't cut interest rates anymore, the only option left on the table is what the Fed just announced it will start doing, buying treasury debt. Now, that's about as dumb as you can get. And they're going to raise the money out of thin air, go figure. And that could lead to the country to the brink of collapse. And I do see a collapse coming before the end of September, way before the end of September. I believe that the collapse is going to start in the next week or so, and it's going to be a gradual, when I say gradual, I mean 400-point drop. I'm not talking about a 2,000-point drop in one night, but I believe that 2,000 points in one night will start to drop around the middle of September. I believe that is why the Antichrist rises, if it is this year. If it is not this year, we're going to see the slinky effect of the market continue to go up and down to next year. But I do believe that we are there. So there's probably going to be some catastrophic events that happen in the next couple of weeks. And we need to pray for our nation. And a lot of people out there probably don't want to hear me say what I'm saying, but I do believe that we're going to need to warn more people. And I'm praying to God that He will allow me to speak for more people. There is such thing as quantitative easing. The Federal Reserve unleashed economic hell. That means that they're going to buy that instrument. So they figure that they cannot lower the interest rates any lower, so they're going to go and buy that instrument. That means they're going to go buy instruments that are already going to have problems as it is. Hey, this is Phil Live. I'm going to go ahead and pray that I'm trying to find out what other file I'll play. That I know my guest came on quickly. I have a file from Lee L.A. Marzulli, but I can't remember if there was another interview prior to that interview. So it kind of messes me up to being able to play that particular file. But we seem to have escaped market collapses so far, so good. We can't figure this stuff out for the life of me, and I am not going to try to figure it out. Thank God we have another year preach the gospel. We don't know when. It could be another month. It could be another year. It could be another 5 years with the rate it's going. But I do believe it's soon. But I think we should be ready anyway, because our life might be taken tomorrow. We are looking at the markets, and they seem to be going up. And we are looking at the world in a global scope, and sometimes these birth pains really look like they're contracting, and then all of a sudden they go back down. These are things that I'm not wishing upon the world. I'm not one of those Bible prophecy people who want stuff to happen. I want millions and millions of people dead. No, I don't. Trust me, I don't. This is not a game. These are souls that will be in eternity forever. This is not a game. Just like, have you ever heard them say, this is not a test. This is for real. Well, this is not a game. People going to hell for eternity is not funny. Not a game. It's not nothing I would like to sit up on a talk show and say, praise God, Damascus is going to be destroyed. Many people are going to die. I don't want to see that happen. Neither should you. I don't want to see the United States collapse. The only reason why the United States would collapse, and I would say, and I would not totally cry about it, is that there's a lot of selfish people in this country who care only about themselves. This is the me generation. And there's a lot of people who need help, a lot of relatives who need help. And well-off relatives won't. They're not going to ask anybody, do you need help? They're just going to walk right by you. And if they had their way, there would probably be no welfare or nothing to help poor people. But this is the me generation. Even our kids, that's my toy, that's my balloon, this is my stuff, this is my, that's me, that's my, you know, grown-ups. You know, this is my life, I can do what I want to do. Well, yeah, you're right. And also, you go sleep with somebody and catch AIDS. I mean, yeah, you're right. We can do what we want to do. The object is to not be so selfish. And that's the thing I hate about our society, is that we are very giving. So there's a lot of giving people, but there's also a lot of selfish me. I've been in the army. I've been around people practically all my life. And there's a lot of selfish people. A lot of selfish people. You would think the world revolves around some people. If I wasn't there, it didn't happen. Have you ever talked to somebody like that before? They swear up and down it didn't happen because they weren't there to see it. You know, in that case, there's a lot of things in American history probably didn't happen because they weren't here to see it. But I'm going to tell you, level with y'all on Barack Obama. I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm going to do what the Bible says to do. But I am going to have some shows talking about his religion. I'm also going to have some shows on, and I'm not going to do a lot of them, but I'm going to talk about the New World Order and Barack Obama is a puppet, no matter what color he is. I don't care what color Barack Obama is. I don't, you know, he's black. Well, he's half black, and I'm black. And I got people in my family who probably sell me out just because they like President Obama. And people won't talk to each other because I'll tell you right now, I don't like Barack Obama. I just don't like his policies. I hate him. But I don't hate him. I don't hate Barack Obama. I like his family. I would prefer him to just stay on the Senate and not try to run this country. Because actually, technically, if I go back to school for a couple of semesters and get my degree and I've been in the Army, actually, I would have been more qualified to be president. You probably laugh at me, but yeah, I'm probably more qualified to be president. I worked more places. And have I been a public affair, I could have just ran for mayor of my city and then ran for president. How about that? Would I want to be president? See, God put him in that position. God put Barack Obama in that position. That's why I'm not going to go against the president. But I would have shows telling you what Barack Obama is about so you won't put your confidence in the arm of man. You see, people are putting their confidence in these politicians, and every 2 years or 4 years, every time there's time for some doggone election, people to put all their marbles in that one basket, thinking the savior is going to come out of nowhere, or the saviors is going to come out of nowhere, and this country is going to function well. Look, we are already deprived morally, and I think we're so desensitized into our moral values that we don't know that we're a degenerate nation. We are a very degenerate nation. And I don't have to go into these different areas to tell you that we are very degenerate, but I'm going to use one, divorce. Now, divorce. People used to be ashamed to bring up divorce back in the 50s. They used to be ashamed to bring up divorce in the 60s. It was an embarrassment that you got a divorce. But now it's like on every corner. On every corner, it is abortion. Every corner. So it is important that we keep in mind that our society. Our churches are more tolerable of things that they used to never be tolerable about. And matter of fact, I'm including every organization that calls themselves a church. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays, 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone.
God bless.